I love you more than anything. Oh, gracious and eternal God, once again, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, and we love you because you first loved us. We thank you, God, for all of your many blessings each and every day. Let your anointing fall afresh on us. We ask, oh God, that you will feed thy people, God, from manna from on high, that their souls might be nourished with the word of the Lord. Come near, God. We need a word from you. We rebuke Satan out of this sacred hour. Forgive us all of our sins and speak, Lord. Thy servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise. The Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter, starting at the 38th verse until the end of that chapter. Please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Luke 10, verses 38 to the end of that chapter. I'll be reading from the NIV version. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away from her." You may be seated. Only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is needed. In December of 1980, Wally Nelson in Lingby, Minnesota, opened his door to find a 19-year-old girl by the name of Hillard, frozen like a log. In Minnesota, it was 22 degrees below Fahrenheit. And Sister Hillard was rushed to the hospital, and they didn't think she was going to make it, but somehow the doctors brought her back, and all she had was a few blistered toes. And Sister Hillard was such a miracle. It was such a miracle that she was on Tom Brokaw, and she went from church to church giving her testimony. She was on all the news channels. But as this 19-year-old girl grew up and she married and had children and got a job, she began to be disappointed with the life that God had given her. She said, "Everything just seems normal to me. I have a husband, I have children, I have a job, but I didn't recall seeing the light that brought me back to life. I don't even recall those hours when I was frozen like a log." She missed her miracle of life itself in the busyness of life. I'm gonna say that again. She missed the miracle of life in the busyness of life. Martha, like many of us today, we miss the blessing of life while we are so busy doing life. We miss the blessing of spending time with our Creator while we are so busy with a million other things. Listen for a minute. Can you hear the world? I hear babies that need to be changed. I hear dinner that needs to be cooked. I hear sports team that need to be followed. I hear demands of the job. I hear the lights of the city. I hear New York calling us to go to plays. I hear mere church stuff, but sometimes in the middle of all of life busyness, I can hardly hear God. Martha was like many of us. And you know, the scholars have thought about this thing from their own social location. You know, wherever we are, we read the text from that location. Some scholars believe that Jesus was rebuking Martha because Martha was trying to serve in the church. Come on, somebody. And so folks use that to say women shouldn't serve in the church. Feminists said, no, it ain't that. Feminists said that Martha was rebuked because she had taken up the traditional role of a woman serving men. Mary was in the man role. She was learning. Other scholars says that Jesus is talking about a more contemplative life, a more thoughtful life, not an active life. All of them are wrong, and some of them are saying that we don't need to serve. For those who just come to church and worship, we're happy that you're here, but this is not an amen for you to sit on your fanny and do nothing. Y'all thought I was going to give you a way out, you know. Jesus says, I don't have to work. You know that this is not what he's saying, because in Luke 10, the beginning of that chapter, he sends 72 people out to go before him to be a witness of the gospel. And in Luke 10:2, he says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's some work to do. Jesus was not teaching us that there's no work to do. He gives a parable of the Good Samaritan. Later on in that chapter, he tells about the man that was beaten on their way to Jericho. And a Good Samaritan stopped and took care of his wounds. And he says, go and do likewise. So this text is not teaching sit on your behind and do nothing. What Jesus is trying to teach us through this personality of Mary, of Martha, that there are three things that we need to be concerned about that stop us from enjoying God. The first thing this text teaches us in 40 that stops us from enjoying God is that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned before, don't let life distract you from knowing God. Yes, there is dinner to be made. Yes, you have work obligations. Yes, you have to wash your car and wash your clothes. But none of those things should stop you from the main objective of life, and that is the fellowship with God. Martha was saying, what is Mary's problem? Just sitting at the feet of Jesus. What's so big about sitting at the feet of the one who called light into the darkness? What is so big about the one who made the heavens and the earth and hung the moon and the stars? Why is Martha taking time to sit at the feet of the one who made the oceans and told the land to stop, the waters to stop right there? What is so big about sitting at the feet of the one who made us from dust of the land? Why is Mary spending her time sitting at the feet of Jesus? Martha was distracted. God is speaking to someone today. How much time are you giving God today? We're studying, those who have been following Bible study during Lent, we are studying a Bible study by Bill Hybel called Simplify and Unclutter Your Soul. And I want you to write this down. Bill Hybel says, instead of waking up in the morning with a to-do list, and to-do lists work fine, he said we need to flip the script. In other words, we need to first declare who we want to become, and then make sure our calendar lines up and is congruent to who we want to become. Again, if you want to become a man or a woman of God, How does your calendar reflect that? How much time are you studying? How much time are you praying? If you want to become a good father or a husband, how does your calendar reflect that? If you want to become someone where God says at the end of life, not just at funerals, well done, my good and faithful servant, how much time are you giving the church? Everybody want the preacher to preach, well done. Well, what have you done? God ain't gonna just say, well done, my good and faithful servant, when you just been serving yourself. My brothers and sisters, Martha teaches us that we neglect and we miss the essence of life when we allow the world to distract us, making preparations that God doesn't care much about. It was all right to have a meal, but how many of you know we serve a God who can feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves? He don't need your meal. And if he wanted to make some Chardonnay, how many of you know he can burn water into wine? Somebody gonna say amen on that. Y'all a little bit too happy about that last part. My brothers and sisters, don't let life distract you. What he's saying to us in doing this Lenten series, focus. Focus on God. Yes, you can do other things, but he must be the first in your life. Not only does he use Martha to teach us not to be distracted, but he also says to her, don't worry. In verse 40, he says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care? How many of you asking that question right now? The answer is yes, God cares no matter what you're going through. That my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now she's so bad, she's bossing Jesus around. Jesus responds like my mama when she wanted to get my attention. She used to say, Keith Allen? She may have called me Keith a couple times. I didn't respond. She would say, Keith Allen. Jesus responds in 41, Martha, Martha. What are you saying? Hear me. The Lord answered, you are worried. Somebody say, don't be worried. The next thing we need to see in this text is that God doesn't want us to be distracted by all of the bells and whistles of this world. You can enjoy them, but we need to focus first on him. That means that when you get up in the morning, you ought to be praying first thing that you need to do. When you ground yourself in the word, it makes all the difference in the world. And then he says, don't worry. Turn to Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, God tells us that worry adds nothing to our stature. Some of y'all didn't sleep last night because you're worrying about things that you have no control of. God is trying to tell you this morning, don't worry. In Matthew 6:25, God teaches us not to worry. He says, Matthew 6:25 says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? I'm going to say that again because some of us live to eat. You're supposed to eat to live, not live to eat. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry. Don't worry. And this is not that song, just be happy. Don't worry and pray. Verse 28 says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. God cares and he knows what you need. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, look how we step over it, we cut it, we mow it, we throw it out, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. That was Martha's issue. She didn't have faith that if she heard God and listened to God, God will take care of all of her needs. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Underline this in your Bible. Highlight it in your app. Do whatever you got to do to remember it. Verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own. My brothers and sisters, God is trying to teach us this morning in this story about Martha and Mary that we need to stop allowing distractions to stop us from focusing in on God. God is trying to teach us this morning that worry does not help you. Worry steals your peace and steals your joy. What you have to do every day is seek first the kingdom of God. I said this morning that when I am busy in my life and I have many things to do, the best thing that I can do is drop down on my knees in the morning and say, God, give me the strength, give me the grace to do what you want me to do. And God has a way of working everything out, but we got to seek first the kingdom of God. God teaches us in this text this morning, through the character of Martha, that we ought not be distracted by all of the world's busyness, that we should not worry. And then lastly, he says to us that we need to not try to do everything, not even many things, but we got to prioritize and know that we need to indeed do the one thing that is necessary for peace and for thriving. Verse 41 says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Some of y'all, you're going to worry yourself to death. Literally. But few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Martha has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. My brothers and sisters, what is that better thing that Jesus is trying to teach us that Martha chose, that all of us needs to choose if we're going to have peace in this life? That better thing that Jesus is telling us this morning is the Word of God. I don't know about you that I remained a babe in Christ until I began to see the relevance for life in the Word of God. That better thing that will tell you how to be a good husband, how to be a good parent, how to be a co-worker, how to serve the Lord in the church and have better balance in your life is the Word of God. I don't know about you, but there have been many days when I've said that there's just not enough hours in the day to do everything that I needed to do. And then I prayed to God and he brought peace and clarity, and all you can do is what you can do. Come on, somebody. Only one thing is needed, and that is to be centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one thing is needed, and that is to live a life filled with the presence of Christ. It does not happen automatically. It does not happen if you're watching all of the television shows. I don't know about you, but I'm trumped out. Amen. All of the television shows, all of the sports programs, all of the movies. You just can't give God just a little bit and expect a presence of God. You know, doing Bible study, Reverend Farmer showed us an analogy about having an eternal perspective, and he brought in a long rope. I don't know, 500 yards long, and he just used the tip of it to demonstrate that our life is this much of eternity. And yet we put all of our time in this much of our living. Our life is eternal with God. And what Jesus is trying to say, don't worry so much about this little bit of your life. You're going to live forever. So spend some time on this part of your life, because only what you do for God is going to last. My brothers and sisters, what's distracting you this morning? God wants to tell you through the character of Martha, don't let life distract you. Don't let the busyness of life stop you from enjoying life in Him. God is telling us, don't worry. There's going to always be things that's going to threaten our joy and try to steal our peace. But we are not to worry about those things. Don't be overwhelmed and exhausted by life. The other thing that we learned in Bible study in this thing is that how many of you are operating from an exhausted bucket, an empty bucket? How many of you are just overwhelmed and never seem to get it all done? That's when we are frustrated. That's when we tend to cuss somebody out. That's when we tend to raise one of our fingers up. That's when we want to fight. That's when we are hell raisers. God doesn't want us to operate from an empty bucket. And so what Hybels is teaching us, what are those things that fill our bucket? What are those things that renew us? The first thing that you need to, if you're going to be renewed and have a full bucket, is that you got to spend time with God. You've got to pray. You've got to study His word. You've got to worship Him. That fills our bucket. You've got to spend time with loved ones. You got to have healthy relationships. And some relationships you probably got to cut off, and forgive them on their way out the door. But the truth be told, some folks empty our bucket. Some folks empty our bucket. What things replenish you? Mayan, golf, amen. Every now and then. Hey, the truth be told, having fun is not a sin. Come on, somebody. The point is just that. Whatever your golf, basketball for me, whatever it is, and sometimes golf as well, you got to replenish your bucket. Worship replenishes my bucket. Helping those in need actually replenishes my bucket. What replenishes your bucket as you think about serving God to the fullest? You need to understand those things that empty your bucket and those things that replenish your bucket. Come on, musicians, I'm almost ready to close. My brothers and sisters, life can get us in a dizzy, frenzied, frenetic pace. I don't know about you, I remember when I was young, and I've seen children go through this same initiation that your parents or kids would take you to the playground. You know, when I was growing up, you just walked to the playground by yourself. These days, we tuck all our kids to the playground. But when I was growing up, last of seven, I don't even know if my mama knew where I was most of the time. But when I was on the playground, the big kids used to always put the little ones on the playground, and I don't think they were trying to be nice, and they would spin that merry-go-round as fast as they could. And you know, when you're young, you're hanging on to the edge, and they making you dizzy, and you're really crying. You know, it wasn't fun at all, you know. But as you got older, when they knew that you were a crying child like I was scared, and they would say, just make your way to the center. So I was staggering, trying to get to the center. Because there is stability in the center of that thing. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, many of us are so busy. We just hanging on and being spun around by life, and we're staggering, and we're all messed up in our head. And God is trying to tell you, get to the center. Get to where Jesus is. That's where stability is. That's where you can think right. That's when you can quit crying and whining. The center is your foundation. The center is Jesus. Get to the center and quit staggering around in life. God wants to give you the one thing you need to be happy in this life. And it's not more money. It's not a relationship with another person. It's a relationship with Him. There is one thing that's needed, and that is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come on, let's give God some praise. Thank you. As we stand to our feet, we're going to sing hymn number 530. I don't know about you, but